Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lincoln on Lending, David Lincoln.
Good morning, everybody. This is Alice Albion. I am filling in for Dave this week. He is out having a wonderful family vacation. We wish him the absolute best, and I just hope I can hang in there just as he does during the show. Today, we've got a lot in store for you. We will have Joe Farr from FBS Fault Line chatting with me and with Tony Garitano about all the latest news in the industry today. You have to remember, this is the first of its kind program. It is we are produced by mortgage professionals for mortgage professionals, and we were awarded the Progress in Lending Innovation Award for 2013, so we're very excited about that. So a special welcome goes out to those listening for the first time, as well as the multiple tens of thousands of mortgage professionals listening to this broadcast to stay on top of everything going on in the mortgage industry. I want to thank our sponsors, United Guarantee and Alamo, and thank them both for recognizing the value of the program. So without any further delay, Joe Farr, hey, what's going
Hello,
on?
Alice. Well, Alice, we're up again today and largely following a fairly disappointing existing home sales for June. Existing home sales fell from May by a little over 1% when the consensus was calling for a rise of a little more than 1%. So a little disappointing. May's number was revised a little lower also. But just a little word of note, existing home sales are based on actual closings. So these were June closings. The closings were probably initiated with contracts signed in April and May. Of course, we all know that there's been a bit of a run-up in mortgage rates, especially in May and somewhat in June and getting better in July. But it'll be interesting to see if the change in rates is a good thing for existing home sales. We'll know a little bit more tomorrow, actually on Wednesday, I'm sorry, when the new home sales comes out, because that's an indication of contracts signed. So June contracts signed on Wednesday may be a better reflection of sort of what impact rising mortgage rates has had on the mortgage market, the housing market especially, in that, you know, did it create a rush to go sign contracts or has it scared people away? And we'll learn more about it on Wednesday and then in the reports to come. I don't know if you...
And also, did it prompt people to put their house on the market, you know, so
maybe,
inventories
yeah.
too. Yeah.
One thing that came out of the testimony that Bernanke provided to Congress last week was that the legislators were all kind of interested in making sure that the rising rates, which they kind of attribute to Bernanke's comments and his activities and the activities of the Fed, having a negative influence on housing, and he assured them that he will keep them apprised of what impact it's having, which I guess is to imply that will he do things to make sure that if housing activities begin to slow down, he'll ramp them back up. And you know, quite frankly, that sounds like a sorry state of affairs, but it is what's going on in the market today.
Every word the man says, right, is something that we all kind of hang our hats on right now.
So let's talk about last week a little bit. And quite frankly, I want everyone to think about this. July has been a very good following the July 5th jobs report. We'll all remember that was a big drop, a 2% drop in prices on that day. We have steadily climbed from that day and, in fact, have recovered all that 2%. And, in fact, we're a half a point better in mortgage prices, not rate, but prices, MBS mm-hmm. prices, from the depth of that drop after the June jobs report on July 5th. So it's been a fairly good few weeks. MBS prices are up again this week. They're up 50 basis points on the week. And a lot of that has been because, well, two things. Number one, obviously, is the Fed, and whatever the Fed had said or is saying or might say is read into the market. And lately, the economic data has been a little bit worse than what was anticipated, and the market is not only reading that into its influence on mortgage rates, but they're also reading that in its influence on the Fed's decision as to begin to taper or not to begin to taper. And so everything seems to be exaggerated a little bit. So weaker than expected retail sales number on Monday was very positive for mortgage rates. Sure. Then Bernanke came out with testimony before the House Financial Services Committee on Wednesday, and he said things that he led people to believe that there was he was maybe a little more dovish about the economy. And then he tried to clarify what the position on the Fed was as to when they will begin tapering, and he used the term, we're not on a preset course. You know, it's not an already given thing that we're going to. Many people had begun to believe that September was already in the books as far as when to begin to taper, and he helped people understand that's not the case. And both the weak information as well as the attempt to clarify or at least to provide some a less likely start to tapering in September were both very positive for MBS prices and mortgage rates. And then June housing starts came out on Wednesday, and they too were a little bit weak, and they too helped MBS prices. The only thing that wasn't so good for mortgage rates or MBS prices was the Philly Fed that came out on Thursday, and it was surprisingly positive, and it caused a bit of a drop in prices. And so actually I said for the week MBS prices improved a half point. It was actually they improved over a point. So it's really a good week last week for MBS prices, mortgage rates, and starting out this week on the upside as well. So, and Alice, next week there's not a lot going on. Really, mm-hmm. everything's beginning to focus on the Fed meeting and the release of first quarter GDP, both of which are going to happen on July 31st. So a week from this Wednesday is really a big day to focus in on. This week, tomorrow we have new home sales, as I mentioned above. Durable orders on Thursday, and then there's some Treasury auctions at 2s, 5, and 7 starting tomorrow. But really will be a fairly light week in anticipation of a big one the next.
Okay. Well, it just really gives you an idea on how we still feel a bit on a teeter-totter. You know, you don't feel like your feet are firmly on any kind of stable ground. You just never know from one week to the next. So I guess that's good news that, you know, we don't have a preset course, and we'll just kind of keep crossing our fingers on that.
Well, and it does make it does make all the economic data that much more important because it has the dual effect. Number one is what effect does it have on the economy and therefore inflation, and then the other effect obviously is what effect will it have on the Fed's decision as to or to not begin to taper.
Yeah. Well, I think loan officers have just got to really be so in tune with their market conditions right now to help customers with rates and also with just market conditions and, you know, what's the housing stock like and just the overall real estate market because everything just seems to be constantly changing. So they need your service, Joe. And I understand you added a component. Didn't you have one of your messages that came out about APOR?
Well, we discussed APOR, average prime offer rate, a couple weeks ago, I think it was. And one of the things that a rapidly changing market like we've been in can do is really distort the measurement against which the loans that you're doing today are to determine if it's an higher price loan. The average prime offer rate, Alice, you know this better than I, but the average prime offer rate plus 1.5% is the rate against which you compare your APR on a loan to determine if it meets the definition of a higher priced loan. And a higher priced loan has, don't they have additional disclosure requirements? And then some people in the secondary market don't want to buy them.
Right. And then, with a higher priced loan, it's really just simply the additional requirements that go with it for qualifying as well as requiring escrow accounts. And frankly, there are just a lot of companies that don't want to originate HPML
right.
loans. Yeah.
So you don't want to be surprised.
In 2011, it was less than 4% of the market were HPML loans,
right.
according to 2011 HMDA data.
So you really don't want to be surprised by one. And so these rapidly changing MBS prices that we've seen over the last 2 months, 3 months, can really distort that. And I want to give you a real quick understanding of the average prime offer rate is released on a Monday. It comes from the Freddie Mac Primary Mortgage Market Survey that is released on Thursday. You'll recall that's a rate and an amount of discount points. The average mm-hmm. prime offer rate just takes the Freddie Mac rate and blends in the discount points to get a rate without any discount points, and that's called the average prime offer rate. And so you got to go back to the Freddie Mac survey. The Freddie Mac survey is conducted on a Monday and Tuesday. Results are released on Thursday, and then the following Monday is when the average prime offer rate comes out. And that average prime offer rate is for the time period from the Monday it comes out until Sunday of that next week. And so by the time the average prime offer rate comes out, it's a week old. The survey results are Monday, Tuesday. It comes out on the following Monday, and by the time that weekly average prime offer rate is going to change again, it was 2 weeks old. So it can be very misleading. And just to give you an example, in the middle of June, we saw a big drop in prices. June 18th to the 25th, there was a 3% drop in prices. I know we're not going to see that again, but just as an example, mortgage rates
right.
during that time period rose 50 basis points. Now, the average prime offer rate that came out just following that increase in mortgage rates actually was lower than the prior week. So it fell during a time period where mortgage rates actually rose 50 basis points. That results in that 1.5-point cushion essentially only being a 1% cushion.
Right.
And so, by knowing when these rate surveys are developed, especially if you have a loan and you feel like that it might exceed the average prime offer rate on a Thursday or Friday, but the Freddie Mac rate is going to go up a little bit, or it does go up on Thursday, you pretty well know, you do know that the average prime offer rate is going to follow it higher on Monday. What might be a higher priced mortgage loan on Friday might not be one on Monday. And so knowing this can really help you to interpret the information and to anticipate whether or not there's maybe an advantage to wait.
Right. So you're basically trying to say, if I pay attention on Thursday for my Friday locks and I'm triggering an HPML say I'm only overbuy, I'm at a 1.6% APR, an APR that's 1.6% higher than the APOR, I'm close enough that the difference between not being able to close the loan or originate it or have the same place to sell it might be offset based on that information and based on other market information to wait and actually lock it on Monday. I mean, certainly you've got the live pricing risk.
Yeah,
though,
the market,
right?
Yeah.
And that part doesn't go away.
Right. But
right?
It doesn't go away, and that risk doesn't go away. But if you're going to be at 1.6 over on Friday and you know it's going up on Monday, and likely you can't make a 1.6 over, wait and try it on Monday.
Right. Well, I think it's great. You know, the more information we can have to try and judge what's the best solution for my customer too, right? I mean, it's not just about the rate. It's about the product options available for the customer too. So I think that's a great tip. So I thought it's excellent that it's just an extra value added, and with the volatile market times, of another feature of what your service provides.
Well, and while you mentioned features, I thought you were going to ask about the new features we've added to our service, which includes an ability to see Ginnie Mae 2 30-year MBS prices and 3 forward months prices. So just wanted to put that out there, a little advertisement.
All right, great. Absolutely. Well, I mean, you know the help we can get, right, for that infamous question from the customer of what are rates going to do tomorrow, right? Take out your crystal ball. And MBS call line, I guess, is the closest thing we can get to having that crystal ball, right?
It certainly keeps you informed as to what's going on, so thank you.
Right. Yeah, you can't just simply say to a customer, I don't know. You know, you need to be able to give them some intelligent response. So, well, thanks very much, Joe. Is there anything else that we need to know?
Well, I'm sure, but we're going to get into a lot of that a little later.
Yeah, we'll talk some more about this, and as well as in the next segments, in our special guest segment today, it is Joe and myself. And we are going to be talking about everything from Supreme Court to FHA reform to QM to are the private markets ever really going to come back. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after this quick word.
Looking for that competitive edge? MBS QuoteLine delivers live market coverage for originators. Get up-to-the-minute mortgage market news and analysis as events occur.
Get MBS prices as trades happen.
Straight to your computer, email, cell phone, or PDA. Know in advance when your investors will reprice. Make better lock-float decisions and increase your income. Be the expert your clients expect and know what's moving interest rates right now, tomorrow, and beyond. MBS QuoteLine, delivering live market coverage for originators. Learn more about MBS QuoteLine today at MBSQuoteLine.com.
MBSQuoteLine.com.
646-716-4972. The Lickin on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lickin.
Hello, everyone. This is Alice Alvey filling in for Dave today, and I am just checking the switchboard here, and we're hoping to have Paul Mallow dial in, and at the moment, I don't see his number. Paul, if you're out there, hit the 1 button so that I can see your number crop up in all of the phone numbers that I'm looking at here, but I'm looking for his phone number in exchange, and I don't see it at the moment, but I will continue to watch for it, and if he's
hey,
out
Alice.
Here, we'll get him in. Yes.
While you're looking for that, I know you're from Detroit, and Detroit's certainly been big time in the news this week. Can you give us any sense of what it's like to be living in the city right now?
Well, you know, I have to be honest, I live in the outskirts of the city, but I love Detroit. I'm born and raised here in Michigan, and we always have a great time visiting. There's lots of great people in the city, and it's just really challenging to feel that, you know, a town you love is, you know, in the headlines in such a bad way. I'm really mortified as how when there's just a short snippet, you know, people pick up on all the horrible things and all the horrible pictures that are being broadcast around literally the world. And the city has great jewels, great gems, really great people. And I think, as a lot of folks have said, the problems didn't even start in the 80s. The problems were out there long before that. And, you know, depending on who you talk to will depend on what the history was. I'm just the type of person who says we can't undo 30, 40, however many years of legacy problems you want to say and start trying to point fingers. Let's just all work together to try solutions going forward. And, you know, we've got to address the schools. You've got to have schools that attract people and families to stay in the city. There's certainly a vibrant part of the market where, you know, young folks love the lofts and some of the other fun things in the city to live in, but as soon as they want to have a family, they don't necessarily want to stay. So, my daughter graduated from Wayne State University, and it's a great, great university town as well.
Yeah, did the concentration in the auto industry, was it the reason that the city began to decline, or I mean, the auto industry is doing great now. Is it just a whole lot fewer people employed there, and it's just more automated, or what impact has the auto industry had on or the changing auto industry had on Detroit?
Well, one of the things that struck me very hard when I listened to Doug Duncan speak one time about just the manufacturing economy as a whole. So the auto industry is doing well today, but he had some phenomenal numbers about the numbers of just manufacturing jobs lost to just simply computers and the ability to automate things that a person used to be able to do. So really the skill sets have changed, and so that's definitely been a challenge. So, yeah, the loss of jobs is obviously the restructuring of the auto industry, but many, many years of automation taking over as well. So, you know, you have to reinvent yourself, and we're working on doing that. So this is just the first step, a lot of additional things. Yeah, thank you very much. We're all, you know, I'm not moving. I've got a lot of family here. So we'll all figure out how to continue to support the city because, like I said, there are still lots of great people, and people want to help and make it work. So, well, thanks, Joe. Thanks for asking about that. I'm still looking. I don't see Paul Mallow at the moment. Paul, if you're out there, you can hit one, and I'll be able to see you that you want to get on the call. So I'm going to segue into my legislative update. And since Joe and I are going to be talking so much about legislation and what's going on in the Hot Topic segment, I'm going to just give everybody just kind of a high level right now of some of the things we're watching. You know, certainly we are going to watch what's going on with the GSE reform legislation, and Joe and I are going to talk about that in detail, but there's a long road before we ever see any kind of major finality to GSE reform. So right now I think it's more of a discussion purpose as opposed to anybody getting panicked about a House or a Senate bill right now. Now, we are also going to talk about the FHA reform bill. So the Senate Banking Committee released a discussion draft of how are they going to try and work with getting FHA back to solvency. And this is also a topic I want to talk in detail about when we get to our next segment, because FHA is in trouble. And as everybody looks at trying to find solutions, this hits us on the front lines, and it hits consumers, and it hits our ability to originate FHA. It also hits quality control and, you know, even the secondary market aspects of this product. So we're paying very close attention to this discussion draft. Certainly there was the version that passed the House back in September, but we're all going to kind of pay attention to this. Right now what we do know is they're looking at trying to set some caps, slightly higher caps for the mortgage insurance premiums. We keep hearing, though, that maybe not this year are we going to see an increase, and they're really going to try other things. But the legislation is focused on trying to get a handle on how can we monitor that FHA is on a path to get their capital reserve requirements back where they need to be. This one bill is proposing that they've got to hit the capital reserve ratio of 3% within 10 years. Now, I know 10 years sounds like a long way off, but how many of us can say, I'm just going to spend all this time saving my paycheck and I'm going to save a ton of money every year, because that's what it's going to take to get this reserve back. And, you know, with volumes changing, I don't know, I think trying to raise the capital reserve ratio at any time frame could be a challenge for FHA. So we're going to talk a little bit, Joe and I, about, you know, how they plan on managing that. And so that's definitely a hot button today is the FHA reform bill. Richard Cordray was approved. So those of you who are crossing your fingers that if his nomination was thrown out, that we could also throw out Dodd-Frank, right? We're always kind of holding out that hold up, the repeal Dodd-Frank one-line bill that we all watch for you and hasn't moved. And now that Richard Cordray is confirmed, I think some of the other last straws people were hanging on to have gone away. The other piece with FHA is FHA is looking to try and seek public comment on its quality assurance procedures. So those of you who deal with FHA in audits, we've got to talk about how this is potentially going to change. They really want to tighten down in audit and look at more files, do it more effectively. And so we'll definitely, Joe and I will be talking about that as well in our next segment. So those are my hot buttons. We're going to continue to watch for any of the new the new developments still waiting for Dodd-Frank. If you remember, in the Dodd-Frank Act, there are still a few trailing pieces. We still don't have QRM coming out. We don't have any information on if there's going to be any change in HMDA data reporting. And we also, technically, we're supposed to get some new FHA disclosures regarding inspections. So if you're getting your shop in order for QM, you've really got to focus on some things right now that you know you can do. You can absolutely implement some of these Reg Z components and get your LOS provider on board with project management at your shop. Know their beta testing dates. And if they're missing their beta testing dates, then you know they're going to miss their rollout dates. So everyone out there needs to make sure they've got solid project management for every one of these regulations. And don't forget my motto, think December 31st. Stop thinking you got till 2014. It works. You get a lot more attention if you think December 31st, 2013 is when I've got to have all of this functioning. So functioning means by, say, beginning of November, you're testing it. And by the beginning of October, you've got everything in writing and ready to go, and you're starting training on your staff, which to me, October 1st feels like it's just a week away. So I hope all of you, anybody who needs help, don't hesitate to give us a call over here at Indicom Mortgage U. We're happy to help you get your policies and procedures and your training all set up. So that's my update for right now, and I'm going to take a minute for just this brief word.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals
providing classroom and web-based delivery
and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees both live and online on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lickin' on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's David Lickin.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I have on the line with us today Tony Garitano, and Tony is going to share with us some information about what's going on in the world of technology. Tony, glad to have you on the program today.
Good to be back, Dallas. Like I said to you guys earlier offline, I was actually on a family vacation, but I'm back in the office again.
Well, I hope you had a nice vacation. You know, that first day back is always the toughest.
Yeah, it was great. We had a good time.
You just will keep dreaming about wanting to go back, and, you know, mm-hmm. do you really care about what's going on in your email right now?
<It's true>.
Yep. I'm calling everybody tomorrow. My out of office play is still on. So tell us, what's going on? I think you're going to talk a little bit about positives and negatives related to this Accenture acquisition of Mortgage Cadence.
Yeah, I mean, it just happened, it just went public last week, Alice, actually, while I was out on vacation. Obviously a lot of people are talking about it. Accenture is a very big global company. They have a huge mortgage footprint, and Mortgage Cadence is another one of those loan origination systems. So I think on the positive side of things, you know, Accenture has an LOS that it can offer the mortgage industry right now. I think those Mortgage Cadence customers now have a very professional services department in Accenture that has very deep resources and industry experience. So I would expect the Mortgage Cadence product to be updated a lot. I would expect a lot of new releases and new enhancements to that product, and I think that existing customers will get even better support, and I would be very surprised if Accenture doesn't start bringing on new customers to Mortgage Cadence. I mean, on the negative side, there are not very many independent loan origination systems out there anymore, and, you know, this is another example of a larger company buying up a loan origination system in the mortgage space. So I think that Mortgage Cadence will probably become a little bit more corporate. And I think that that might slow things down in terms of their ability to adapt to market changes as quickly as the independent LOSs. The other thing that, that just struck me, Alice, is that if I'm a lender and I go to Accenture for advice and due diligence, I'm not sure that I would be as inclined to do so in the future, because my concern would be that they're always going to steer me towards Mortgage Cadence now that they own them.
Right.
So that might be a downside, too. I mean, the upside, I think, is that Accenture has dealt with all of the loan origination systems in the space throughout the years. So, you know, I think they must have obviously seen something in Mortgage Cadence that they thought was unique.
Well, if I'm an LOS provider, am I? And they've conducted reviews. I mean, there's all kinds of non-disclosure agreements. Well, I bet the other LOS providers are going to be watching them closely because they have a lot of inside information.
I think so. You know, obviously, I think, you know, I've gotten industry reaction from the other LOS providers out there, Allison. They're, you know, publicly they say it's no big deal. It's just another competitor being swallowed up by a big company. But, you know, privately off the record, they tell me, you know, we've had dealings with Accenture. So, it, you know, it does, you know, bring up some questions going forward. But I'm sure that, you know, Accenture will conduct itself professionally.
Oh, yeah, I didn't mean to imply that they wouldn't. But, you know, it, it just, you know, that obviously in the market, you could just get concerned. So, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just wanted to hear from Tony if you have heard or if Accenture has said anything that this is a strategic entry into a market. Does it mean that they plan to do more things? Have they seen things that they feel like you know, they can come in and be efficient at providing services on many other avenues?
I think they do. I mean, they didn't specifically say, you know, and they, you know, they're not going to tell me, Joe, but in terms of their future acquisition strategy. But what I was struck by was that they said in their announcement that they see a lot of opportunity in the mortgage space.
Yeah.
So that to me indicates that, you know, there will be other acquisitions that they do and that they will be investing a lot of time and resources in fleshing out the Mortgage Cadence offering, you know, in new areas maybe that that technology offering doesn't cover already. So I think, you know, I think we will maybe see more acquisitions from them, and I think we'll see some more news announcements from Mortgage Cadence about what they're doing with the solution going forward.
So has their LOS changed already as a result of this?
No. No,
okay.
My guess is the arrangement was probably just reached recently because they just went public with it last week. So it's a new deal. So my guess is that it will be business as usual
for all the users.
For all the users, and there'll be a transition period. But the upper management at Mortgage Cadence is still there, at least for now. We'll see if that's the case a year from now. As you know, some of these deals, you know, say it's business as usual at first, and then all of the upper management, you know, put in their time, and then they take their money and they leave. So we'll see in terms of the brain trust. But Accenture has a lot of very significant brain trust in and of itself.
Right.
So even if the Mortgage Cadence upper management did leave in a year or two, and again, I'm not saying that that's the case.
Right.
I don't know one way or the other. I think that the company would still have a good deal of mortgage experience, regardless.
Well, and I just think it's such an advantage to have all that compliance firepower behind an LOS. You know, to me, with all the things we have looking forward in terms of compliance, you know, although there are still companies out there that use them as like a glorified doc prep system, they really are a huge safety net. So to have a company behind it that can offer that kind of you know, strong support and making sure it'll have designs in it to help protect the lender. We all want to just click a button and have it all be in compliance, right? That we don't have to think about it. So it sounds like a good opportunity then for that software. Well, thank you, Tony. Thanks so much for your feedback. And anything else on the loan origination software front? Hello, I'm not sure if I lost Tony or not, but we will be right back after this brief word.